Well, the reason why we don't have an intro still, Todrick P. Butts is still in Flo Rida. So that's his excuse. The other couple months, I don't know what his excuse is. Welcome to the Cyberstorm Bubble. Scotty Waz here. Jen, the NHL history girl there. We're doing this a day late because our Patreon came a dollar short. No, I'm kidding. No, we just did it late Sunday.
Yep.
And put it out. And rather than do an April Fool's or whatever. You know, if I was smart enough and I remembered, I would have done a Why I Joined the Athletic on April Fool's Day.
Sure.
And just put it in my blog. And I'm closing it because this is why I'm joining the Athletic. And just do a long diatribe read with no... It's like every other line of my writing. Just meandering and 0 point. Thanks for watching. So, yeah. But no, we decided just to do it on a late Sunday because I was working during the day and you were sleeping during the day. So, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. Today we'll talk... there was a lot of really, really fantastic or memorable games around Easter.
Well, two.
Two. That's a lot considering the time span. The fact that Easter is often... nowadays, it's kind of not really playoff time.
Yeah.
But in this era, it was very deeper into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of decent games, at least back in the day. Nowadays, I think it's just like around the time playoffs start, or like last year it was the week of the playoffs starting.
Yeah.
Because it always, Easter's around there and around my birthday, so that helps. But we'll talk that. We'll talk some expansion. Fun though. The Golden Knights, first expansion team that didn't include 1967, 1967, 1967, 1968. I'm very tired. The first expansion team that didn't include the 1967-68 teams or the merger teams to clinch a playoff spot in the NHL.
Mm.
So, we'll talk about expansion. What?
I don't... Okay.
What?
It just didn't make sense for a second there.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't include the second expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't include the merger of the WHA.
Because
technically they were new teams.
Mm.
And they called it expansion. Like, they didn't dissolve into
right. The
NHL. So we'll talk some, I don't know, playoff crap. Expansion playoff crap.
Mm-hmm.
And some streaks and some droughts. Hooray, hooray. Although we could leave the streaks and droughts till later.
Yeah.
There we go. But first and foremost, thank you to our Patreon. I mentioned Patreon before. You can give a dollar if you want it. It would help us. It would help us in our goal to do a show from the Hockey Hall of Fame. That'd be great if we do a show, a face-off hockey show, and then we do our show from the Hockey Hall of Fame. And then just, we could do our show as we just walk around and talk stuff about it.
just trail me with a microphone.
Essentially, it's just mic, get we'll find a wireless mic set up and then set it into a board, into a computer, and just have you ramble on about things.
Yeah.
That would be a good just Patreon-only release. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. You can be like Brian or Sean or Damon or Angelo or Mark or Mitch or Trista or Ethan or Matthew. All those fine folk. They contribute. You should too. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. We thank you for at least admonishing us. Admonishing us? Thanks for listening. I don't know. I'm so, tired right
you
now.
You are goofy tired.
I'm dumb tired. but not as dumb tired as some of these games.
Mm.
Some of these games, two of them in particular, two of them happened around when Jesus came back to life. the Good Friday Massacre was well before that. So yeah. The Good Friday Massacre... happened on, oddly enough, Good Friday, 420 Blaze It.
1984.
Between Les Habitants and Les Nordiques. But the background behind this, in general, it probably didn't take much. This is what, game six?
Yeah.
Game six of a seven-game series.
Yep.
These teams already have an ire for each other.
As do the fan bases.
Exactly, because it's Francophone against Anglo.
Well, it's, and even within that, you have Francophone versus Francophone.
Mm.
It's like,
which it's city a civil
is,
war.
Yeah, which is like, which city's more French? Mm. Like, there was, a, plus, you know.
We give up more. No, we give up more.
It goes back to, like, it goes all the way back to the Habs basically buying the Quebec Aces to get Béliveau. Mm. And so they basically stole Quebec City's star
big
player,
thing.
You know, and their hockey hopes. And so it goes a ways back.
Their hockey hopes? Wait, what? Did they think they were going to expand? Like, did Quebec City think they were going to be part of that 67 expansion?
No, but they... The Aces were their team. The
sure.
Aces were a champion team.
Mm-hmm.
The Aces were a star team. The Aces had Jean Béliveau, the French-Canadian star. It just... They had this one thing, and you took it away.
Right, but I mean, if NHL versus AHL,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
why wouldn't you? Like, if I don't care, if Glenn Burnie had a team,
yeah.
If Cal Ripken, if Baltimore was a minor league team, and Cal Ripken was playing at the Orioles minor league team,
mm-hmm.
and then like I don't know, freaking the Phillies.
Yeah, but you got to remember, at the time, you know, this is the 50s. AHL teams were as good as NHL teams.
Oh, sure, and they had those intra-league drafts and
yep.
things like that. So
plus, you have Molson, the Habs mm-hmm. sponsor, the CBC sponsor, versus O'Keefe,
mm.
the Nordique sponsor. So, yeah, there's a lot of tension just going into it historically, and then. And then you have this season where the Nordiques basically had the Habs number all season.
In that they just took the sweet season series. And
basically.
And this is that weird transition phase from the dynasty years to what would become, I guess, the new era
yep.
of Habs.
Yep.
Where Patrick Waugh was 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was, he got drafted in 84, maybe?
Yes.
So he wasn't even, he was just kind of a hint on their radar. But I mean, and that Quebec Nordiques team was a powerhouse too.
It was.
Like, you had your Goulet, your Stastny's, Paymont.
Yeah.
Wilf Paymont is there.
Yep.
Everybody. But I mean, that was a hell of a team. That was a young Dale Hunter was on that team too.
Yes. Yeah, because Mark was on the Habs.
Habiton.
Yeah.
They fought each other.
I had to think about that for a second.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Like, yeah, you mentioned him when we were doing our pre-show meeting out there on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what broke down? What happened? What happened?
So, you have this really tense atmosphere, right? Like, they arrive at the arena hours ahead of time to get ready for the game. And there's already fans out there, like, chanting and singing. And so there's just, like, general intensity going on. Plus, this is game 6 of a series. You had the players and the coaches on both teams going back and forth all season telling a reporter, hey, listen, I don't like that guy. And then they go to that guy, and that guy's like, hey, it's okay. I don't like you either. So it's been building and building and building. And like I said, the Nordiques had been handling the Habs quite well all season. I think at one point they beat them 7-1. So it was just sort of a natural rivalry. Everyone was there, nervous. Everyone was tense. It all starts, as usual, with Dale Hunter.
Shocking. Shocking that it starts with Dale Hunter.
Because the whistle blows. And Dale tries to get in, like, a little quick shot. And so the whistle blows, and he bumped the goalie. And then it was a little scuffle. And then Chris Nyland said, well, you know.
Shocking Chris Nyland's in this story, too.
Right? So then Chris Nyland jumps on the ice, and he jumps on Randy Mahler. And that's what starts the first brawl. And Carbonneau said, well, you know, it was Nyland doing his thing, thinking that he needed to get the team going in a different direction. Now, at the time, there was no third man in. There was no bench brawl
no
penalty.
Instigator.
Yeah, there was no instigator. There was no. There was a $10,000 fine for the first guy off the bench. That was the entire punishment. So, you know, the first guy gets off the bench. It doesn't matter after that.
Yeah, it's just like a...
It's like, well, hey, if he's in, I'm in, you know?
And then it becomes, as the kids like to call, clown shoes.
Yep, so everyone's out there. Malarchuk didn't know what to do, so he just kind of like hung out on the bench like, guys? Which is kind of odd because he came out of the WHL.
Yeah, he did.
You know,
and that, but that's rough and tumble, but not to that not to that extent.
Well, I mean, WHL did have, yeah, the WHL did have a lot of.
There was a lot of scrappers there, and that's like, I'm not gonna.
So I just sort of assumed that he'd be like, okay, cool.
Oh sure, I mean, but he played in Portland.
Yeah,
like that. There wasn't any blood feuds in Portland. Like it wasn't. It wasn't Saskatoon against Regina, like the Battle of Saskatchewan, like it wasn't Edmonton, Calgary, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, like Portland, what, you could be up on Tri-City, like honestly.
Well, in the end, he ended up on the ice with the Montreal backup goalie. Tony McKegney was hanging on to Bob Gainey, and the two of them basically just like flew head over ass over a dog pile of guys. The scary moment was when Louis Slayer grabbed Jean Hamel and punched him, and Hamel went out unconscious. So he's just lying there, out cold on the ice, and that's what kind of stops the brawl. Mario Tremblay broke Peter Stastny's nose. It was kind of intense.
And let's be mindful. The Nordiques are up 1-0 in this game.
Yes.
When this all went down.
Yep. So at this point, they notice that Hamel is down, and they're going, oh my god, what's going on? And then the guys just kind of stopped fighting. So the referee's called off the period, and Bruce Hood's the referee in this game, and there's a lot of criticism on him for what happens next. So anyway, he calls off the period early. Sends both teams to the dressing rooms. And then there were about 14 fights going on at once, plus the bench clearing, plus, you know. So they're trying to figure out who's getting kicked out of the game, who's getting the major penalty, who's getting the minor penalty, like, what's going on here? Because it was just clown shoes. And so they're all sitting around in the dressing rooms just waiting. And they're like, well, we didn't even know what was going on, so how did we, you know, like, we didn't think the referees really knew what was going on either. So at one point, a couple of the players were just assuming that either the game was going to be postponed or they were getting kicked out. So they started undressing. And then Michelle Bergeron came into the dressing room and was like, all right, get your gear on. Let's go. Everybody out on the ice. And they're like, what? And he's like, you heard me. Let's go. Everyone on the ice. So they're like, okay. And they all get on the ice. And the problem was, no one had told the teams who had been ejected from the games. And so you have a bunch of guys out there who shouldn't be out there. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Hood's panicking. Like, he's looking around.
And that, you definitely, like, how do you not communicate that?
Yeah.
After what just happened?
Yeah, how do you not make sure that the teams know who's kicked out of the game? Like, why don't you just stop it right there when you see them skating out for the warm-up? And be like, listen, no,
why
get off the
ice.
Why
don't you just tell somebody to tell them?
Yeah.
There's off-ice officials for
a
reason.
They decided, apparently, to announce it over the PA system.
Yeah, that's...
Which, really clever. So clever. So, Slayer should have been out of the game. Stastny should have been out of the game. And Mario Tremblay should have been... Peter Stastny and Mario Tremblay should have been out of the game. And they realized that, you know, we're on the ice. If we should have been ejected and we're already on the ice again, we got nothing to lose here.
Sure.
And so they start going at it again. And the puck hasn't even dropped. And they're all fighting again. And that's when they start announcing the penalties over the PA system.
So you didn't even have to. That's hilarious.
like they didn't even get the third started. Like, everybody was really confused. There were some guys who were getting penalties and they're like, what did I do? Like, you know. Mark Hunter, somebody told Mark Hunter he was getting the boot, so he, you know, he started brawling. he yelled something at Slayer and dropped his gloves, and that's what started it again the second time around, really, is Hunter being told that, you know, he was getting kicked out of the game, so he's like, well, I'll just take a couple guys with me. So then they're all out on the ice again, 10 guys, you know, on each side.
Slayer also got kicked out.
Yes.
Because, and then you probably didn't read this. I read this from the Montreal Gazette. Is because it due to it being Good Friday, his satanic riffs were too sick for the audience. So he had to leave.
Yeah.
Slayer, Jen.
Yes.
It's a Slayer joke.
I get it.
Like the band.
Very good.
Yeah. That's just great content you're paying for, patrons.
Yeah, Hunter was actually trying to swing his stick at Slayer, and Slayer was trying to hide behind John D'Amico. It's kind of funny because I'm reading this oral history from Sportsnet, and the only thing that Michelle Bergeron really had to say was, after the game, I hope not too many children in the province of Quebec were watching that hockey game. It's very disappointing. It's disgusting. That's the only comment he had on the entire game. So, you know, there you go. So, anyway, you have players starting to get into it again. Dorian Tremblay keep punching and falling over. They get up, they punch, they fall over. Peter Stastny just skated over to his bench, pulled off his gloves.
Of course, because he doesn't know how to fight.
Well, no, he just skated over to the bench, pulled off his gloves, put him down on the bench, skated over to the fight, bent down and started punching Tremblay in the back.
Sounds about right.
So, and then Dale Hunter started hitting Tremblay. Stastny backed off. And then Mark Hunter jumped in and jumped on his brother. And that's where it seemed to stop for good. The other linesmen separated them. There was an hour-long delay. They ended up tossing 11 players, 252 penalty minutes. Hmm. And then Larry Robinson came out and hit Anton Stastny with one of those big classic Larry Robinson center ice hits. Just bam. And the Habs took the game from there.
There you go.
So
5 goals. And they're up. And 2. Like, it was 2-0. And then
yeah,
Habs score 5 late goal. But all for naught. And, you know, that, yeah, that was, like, violence personified in a game for an Easter, for the time.
Yes.
Then you get to the other big Easter game. And if this was not foreshadowing for the, what is it, 30-some years, almost the 31 years, forward, Capitals history.
Talking anytime I have to talk Caps playoff history.
You don't. You do not talk about it.
It hurts my soul.
In this household, you do not talk about it because it doesn't exist. Like this. This is introduction 101 as a Caps fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's this game here, the Easter Epic, where You have this team and the Islanders on the brink.
3-1.
You're on the brink.
Yep.
They're there for the taking. And then you throw it away.
Yep.
This is the first of many 3-1 series leads. They just say, you know what? We don't want to take the easy route. We want to go golfing. This team. This bleeping team.
There's so much pain in your voice.
Because, like, I've never watched the game. I was 4. Like, I just turned 4, like, days earlier.
Yeah.
And that game was too late. And I didn't know of hockey until the next season.
Sure.
But I saw clips of it. The lighter side of hockey was a videotape I had, and I played ad nauseum. It was a great tape, and we have it in house here. We got to convert it somehow. I don't know. We'll give it some Jewish classes. Strong conversion. The point is this. I've seen clips, and even the clips in like a 10-15 minute package, agonizing.
Yes.
Because you're yelling at the screen.
Yes.
You're asking Bob Mason what the hell he's doing. Scott Stevens getting burned. Lou Francischetti's there for some reason playing big minutes late into a game. They hit multiple posts.
Oh, yes.
Rod Langway's up in the offense, and that turned into until 1990 when he became a playoff hero against the Rangers. Like, no, you stay back. They gave you a jersey that said Secretary of Defense for a reason, sir. And then, okay, can't beat Kelly Rudy.
No.
They can't beat that Yofa helmet, which, understandable, Yofa helmet against Cooper helmet, Yofa helmet's going to win every time. That was told in the Tommy Satterstrom versus Chris Osgood affairs. We all knew those things.
Did you see the shot totals from this game?
The shot totals were insane.
75-57. The Caps had 75 shots.
Yeah, no, they scored two goals.
73
saves for Kelly. Yeah, I was on Reading Rainbow. So what, Rudy? Like, I don't understand how a team like this. Mike Gartner was on this team.
Yes.
Larry, Murphy was on this team.
Yes.
Scott Stevens was on this team.
Yep.
Something called a Grant Martin was on this team. He scored a goal. You know it's bad when a thing called Grant Martin is scoring goals.
He was the call-up I was telling you about.
Son of a bitch.
Because Alan Hayworth was injured. And so he was this Grant Martin guy was supposed to be on the roster instead of Alan Hayworth. And he nearly had to sit out the game because they almost handed in their official roster with Hayworth instead of Martin. So
Bobby Gould was on this team. Gary Galley was on this team. Dave Christian was on this team.
Yeah. There's no reason the Islanders should have beaten them like
Michael
this.
Michael Pavanka, Mike Ridley were on this team.
Yes.
Folk legends for the Capitals later on in life.
Yes.
Locker was on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Locker. Oh, I wonder if he played any minutes in this game.
Probably.
Oh, God. This game. This bleeping game. Anyway.
It was the longest playoff game since 1943.
It's the first time since 1951 a game headed into four overtimes.
Yep.
Then Pat the fucking Fontaine. He got it at the blue line.
Yeah.
He was so tired he lost an edge and just said, screw it, I'm just going to turn around and shoot it, and Bob Mason can't see.
Yep.
And Bob Mason's standing there like they blew the whistle somehow. Just, duh. I could have made that save. I was four. Stand-up goaltending is garbage. I will say that to Kurt McLean's face.
Do you think they should have had Pete Peters in goal instead? Do you think that was a mistake, sending in the rookie Bob Mason?
Yeah. Yeah, but Pete Peters almost blew it the next year against Philly, so I can't say one way or another. Pete Peters wasn't the bravest of the bunch. But, I mean, you know, Bob Mason, just ride the hot hand, I guess.
Yeah.
Pete Peters had been in that series and was not great. 6 hours and 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped 50 shots. 50 shots from the end of the second period. Yes. Kelly Rudy did.
Yeah. Apparently, LaFontaine called it. He said, don't worry, I'm going to... Like, he told Rudy, he's like, you've done such a great job, I'm going to go out and get the winner. Like, don't worry about it. I'm going to do this. And LaFontaine... after the game, he was like, well, the trainer was, like, tossing buckets of cold water on me to cool me down and said, don't worry, you're gonna get the goal. Don't worry about it. You're going to do it. And LaFontaine remembers hearing the trainer say this, and he looks over, and you know there are people in the crowd falling asleep or already asleep, and the organist is playing the Twilight Zone theme. Brian Murray had a bad feeling about this game from the get-go because it was Van Helimon, and he didn't like Van Helimon. He thought that
Van Helimon.
Helimon, sorry. He thought that weird things would happen and they would lose because that's what always happens. When
it doesn't matter the ref. They always lose in the playoffs. They've gotten to the third round exactly twice.
Yes.
Got swept once and then actually won one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The players were like, yeah, we expected the Zamboni to run out of gas out there.
Lachlan didn't play this game.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh.
Oops.
Ryan Trottier after the game was like, I hate beer, but the kids were having so much fun that I had a beer too.
There you go.
And then afterwards, you have Bill Clements.
It was Doc too.
Doc, yep. Doc and Bill Clement doing the post game for ESPN, and it's what, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Wasn't even the post game. They were doing in between overtime intermission hits when they had the tie around his head.
Yeah,
it was in between intermission. Like the
was
game
it?
Wasn't even yes, because there were still fans.
That's right.
In the
yes,
seats.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was like after the second overtime, they got wacky. Bill Clement started huffing all that off.
He took
bug
his
spray.
Dress shirt off.
Yeah. He was huffing that off bug spray he got from that sweet, sweet sponsor.
So
deal.
if you Google Bill Clement Easter Epic, it will come up with Mike Emmerich and Bill Clement Get Nutty 1987. Mm-hmm. Bill Clement took off his dress shirt. So he's just there in like a white V-neck shirt. And he's got his tie tied around his head. And he's doing impressions. Like he does a John Wayne impression. And it's just... I mean, the two of them are just batty off the rails, like punch drunk craziness. Mm-hmm. So that's like the only real happy-ish highlights. Yeah, this game, it hurts my soul.
Your soul?
Talking about the playoffs, talking about the Capitals' playoff history in general hurts my soul. Like, I never want to do it.
It's like... We almost have to do a show that's just dedicated to the history of the Caps' failures.
I don't think I can do that without antidepressants. Like,
when they finally win a cup, that's when you do it. You put the ghost to rest at that point. Because who cares? You bought all the merch. It's fine. It's being delivered by shopnhl.com. You're good.
There were like three media guys last year who were like, this is the Caps' year. And I'm staring at them through my computer. I'm like, no, no.
It hasn't been their year ever.
And, Wino, Stephen Wino was one of them. And he's like, no, trust me, Jen, it's their year. And I'm like, I'm going to find you at the draft. I'm going to kick you in the shins. So.
He's not that tall. You could probably kick him in the thigh.
He's about as tall as I am. Yeah. But, yeah. There's that tragic history. Yeah.
You couldn't have a guy out in the high slot? Like, you couldn't... Like, honestly, like you don't lose track of a guy like LaFontaine.
No.
Like, I don't...
And I think the most painful thing is in the third period.
Yeah, this is the most painful thing. Go ahead.
You can hear... what's his name? Gartner, I think. You can hear him ringing like three shots off the post. Like, just, it's so painful.
They had to hang on for like 5.5 minutes in the third. Brian Trottier.
So many posts.
Brian Trottier scores.
Yeah.
And then it's just, it's a message board. It's just post after post after post. Just nothing. Yielding nothing.
Yep.
And that's when you knew his team wasn't going anywhere fast. They're going to hang up banners for attendance and winning the regular season. That's what this team's all about. But hey, they might win in the division again. Oopsie shit. Well, that's Easter games. That, oh, man.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Islanders sounded defeated because after the first two games, they went home and they were like, what's it going to take to beat these guys? Like,
well, they,
how?
They split the first two games.
Yeah, but
they sound. Oh, yeah,
They sounded
well,
sort
they're of coming
defeated.
Off the dynasty era,
yeah.
too. Like, this is a team, another team in transition. Like,
right.
Like the Habs were.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was apparently a lot of soul searching. Like, how do we beat these guys? Like, how do we, you know, a lot of, how do we hang on? Geez, can we hang on? You know? So, if Washington had just, you know, done their thing and not sat back, who knows?
I know what would have happened. They would have gotten
alternative sadness.
The next year they would have got. The next week they would have gotten this, or next season, next series they would have gotten destroyed, as they are wont to do in the second round.
Yeah.
Who would have played in the next round?
I'm trying to.
Oh, they would have played the Flyers.
Flyers.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're not beating Ron Hextall.
Probably
the next
not.
Year they beat him.
Yeah.
Not this year. All right. There's a look at some playoffs and ranting by me. Hope you all enjoyed that.
Almost as good as therapy.
Something else therapeutic for people in Vegas. The Vegas Golden Knights have reached the playoffs and won the Pacific Division.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, fair play to them. Kudos. Good work. First year.
The only other team to do that was Blues. 68.
And if you want to count the Whalers and Oilers in 80.
Yeah.
Well, the Blues, the North Stars, the Kings, and the Flyers. Everyone except the Penguins and Oakland Seals of the expansion era made.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Blues won the division. That was, I don't know why I did that. I just shout out loud enough to get in the mic. But yeah, I mean, good for them, I guess. I've been trying to think of, like, other than those teams that came in and they almost had to get in.
Yeah.
What other team was as successful? What was the shortest time span? I'm thinking the Panthers, maybe?
Yeah, in the expansion era, yeah.
It's either Panthers or Wild who got there quicker.
I believe it was the Panthers. Let me double check.
Because the Panthers were 96 because they made that incredible run. I think it almost was a tie because I think Minnesota's first one was...
Let's see.
03 when Brunette ended Waugh's career.
Yep. So 2001, 2002 did not qualify. 2002, 03, they won the conference. Because
that was that wacky year where they were like a 8 seed and Anaheim was a 6 seed. They met in the conference finals.
Yeah. Yep. They beat the Avs, beat the Canucks, and then lost to the Ducks.
Which that team, another like a ragtag team. Because there wasn't that many. There was Gabrick, who was finally becoming a young star.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dimitri. No, Dimitri was on the Blues by that time. Dimitri even play for the Wild, or am I thinking somebody else?
No, he did.
Okay. But, I mean, like, this was a team. I think, was Dwayne Rolison in that team, too, or was it Manny Fernandez that wrote them?
That was Fernandez.
Because they had that platoon goaltending, like, win-yin kind of system.
Yep. Dimitri was in St. Louis at that time, so he wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even then, he wasn't a part of the Stamp team.
Yeah, no, it was...
God, like, Brad Bombardier was on that team?
Their team was really... It was Stefan Vayu, it was Manny Fernandez, Jesus. It was Dwayne Rollison, it was Nat Domicelli, I always pronounce the name wrong. I mean, a bunch of who guys?
Here's
like,
their top.
Darby Hendrickson.
Their top three. Their top five scorers.
Is Richard Park one of them?
No. He was 10th. It was Gabrick, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Pascal Dupuis, 2.
Yep.
Cliff Ronning, 3.
Yeah.
Andrew Brunette, 4. Sergei Zoltok, 5.
Yeah.
And Wes Walls was there. Philip Kuba was there.
Andrew Brunette.
Willie, a young Willie Mitchell.
Jim Dowd.
Exactly.
Pierre-Marc Bouchard.
Rookie season.
It's a weird team.
Wow, yeah. Dwayne Rolison, Manny Fernandez, and Dieter Kochen were the three goalies. Dieter Kochen only played in five games. One game, gave up five goals, and that's 60 minutes. Yeah. Wow, he's terrible. Howdy.
So the only team more successful more quickly was the Panthers because they made it all the way to final.
Yeah.
And that was in their third year because they beat the Bruins, they beat the Flyers, they beat the Pens, and then they lost to the Avs.
Of the new expansion era, it's only the Ducks are the only team to win a cup.
Yep.
From 90-91 on. Panthers made it there. The Predators have made it there.
Yep.
And that's it, right? Yeah, because no one else. Atlanta doesn't have a team because, you know, Sportsnet forgot about them too. To be fair, they are a forgettable bunch.
Yeah, the Sens didn't make it to the playoffs until 97, and then they lost in the quarterfinals to the Sabres.
Yeah. So that was a good Sabres team. Hasek was on that? No.
It took until 2007 for them to make the cup final.
Oh, that's right. They made it too. I forgot about that.
Yep.
And Tampa's won it. Man, I'm really off on this one. Boy.
Yeah, Tampa's
research, who cares?
Tampa's won it.
Tampa was the first of the new expansion to win it, 04.
Yeah.
Then the Ducks won it in 06. Yeah. Ducks went in 03, though.
Yes.
So Panthers went in 96, Ducks went in 03, Tampa won in 04, Ducks won in 06.
Yeah.
No, 07.
07.
And then Sens went in 07. It was a Ducks-Sens final.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tampa went again in 13?
Was it?
13 or 14. They lost to either the King. They lost to the Kings.
Yeah.
So I think it was 14.
Let's check.
14 or 15. 15 or 16.
It was definitely in the past 10 years.
Exactly.
That.
Ben Bishop was in that, I believe.
Let's see. That's 2004.
And also the Predators made it last year in 2017.
Lost the cup final to the Blackhawks in 15.
Oh, they lost to the Blackhawks. Okay.
Yeah.
Who the hell did the Kings beat?
They lost the...
Oh, the Kings beat the Devils and Rangers, I think.
What year are you talking about?
14 and 12. So I think 12 they beat Henrik Lundqvist and the Rangers because Alec Martinez scored in the game winner. And I want to say 14 they beat the Devils.
Let's see.
Top of my
they,
head.
They beat the Rangers in 14.
The hell they beat in 12 then?
Let's find out. In 12? You know, it's really sad to me. I can tell you who won the cup in like 1956, but I can't tell you who won it 2 years ago. 2012?
Whenever they won their other cup. Because they've won two cups, right?
The Kings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't research this. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying half the time on the show.
All right, let's find out. Well, 2012, there was the lockout, remember?
It's 2013. Blackhawks won the shortened season. I'm talking about 2011-12.
Oh, okay. 2011-12,
yeah.
They beat the Devils.
Okay, so they beat both Metropolitan New York teams.
Yeah.
So, yep. Minus the Islanders, because who knows where the hell they're going to end up. So there you go. So expansion, not been kind to many teams, except for some reason, the Golden Knights with the hell with the...
Well, for one thing, the expansion draft rules were much nicer to them than they were to probably any other expansion draft.
A little, but not enough. I don't think anyone knew William Karlsson was going to pot 40-plus this year. Let's not kid ourselves.
Somebody actually asked me today, like, do you know if there's ever been a player who scored 40 goals in the NHL but never scored more than 20 in juniors? This is a Bill Karlsson question. I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there's some.
Yeah.
You could probably go Setoguchi on that stuff. I mean, that's a good default. Or Chichu. That's a very good default. But, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone knew, I guess, like, even with the, Marc-Andre Fleury, he didn't play half the season.
Yeah.
I mean, they had goaltender rotation, and they were still tops in the league.
Yeah.
With Oscar Danks in net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, this is, I guess this is how good management works, or good coaching. Like, the Panthers are just like, why'd we get, we thought math was better than this guy? Really?
Well, and that's the thing, is that the Knights were able to take advantage of some of the cap-strapped teams, right?
A little, because they still had, a lot of guys still had to move their, you know, no move, no trade.
Sure.
So there were some hurdles. Yeah. I mean, granted, they didn't get as fleeced as bad as some of the other teams, let's be honest. Like,
no.
Some of the other teams fleeced, like, the Panthers and the Ducks and everybody really well.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, it was kinder to them.
Yeah.
But...
And also the NHL put the hammer down on these little side deals. Like, listen, if you don't take this player, we'll give you that one, you know?
Sure.
Or...
Which I think
the
is
Oilers
half the fun.
And the Panthers make a trade on paper.
Right.
You know, to protect a player.
But
like,
I think that's half the fun, too.
I kind of missed that this year because there were no shenanigans.
I like shenanigans.
Yeah.
Seattle's going to have much less shenanigans, too.
Well, yeah, because they said they're going to follow the same model.
Yeah. And the Golden Knights are going to be exempt. So.
Yeah.
Are they, even without winning a playoff series, best ever expansion team? Given that, again, take into account that 67, 68,
mm-hmm.
they had to play out of their division with the Blues winning it.
Right.
Is this team the best expansion team ever? When you look historically upon it. Can you make an argument, I guess, even without them, just based on regular season alone?
Well, I mean, they're light years ahead of other expansion teams.
Oh, and how? Even without a full affiliated team. Like, they have the Chicago Wolves, but they're sharing with the Blues because they don't have enough farmhands down there.
Yeah. But the Knights have also... They've also been luckier than other teams this year in that they haven't been hit by the injuries that a lot of other teams have been hit by.
They're on their fourth string goaltender
by the
month of the season.
Yeah.
Because both Fleury and Subban went down in a month.
But outside of the goaltending, I guess I haven't noticed the injuries the way I have with, like, Dallas or...
Sure. Like, they haven't... Like, Neil's missed some time, but it's, like, that's a very next man up mentality. And Neil... Yeah. After his hot start, kind of faded a bit and regressed to the mean.
Yeah.
Whereas no one told William Karlsson he's not supposed to be this good.
Well, and that's the other motivator, right? Like, some of these guys are like, screw you for giving up on me, you know? So,
some of these guys are playing for a contract,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they're probably the strongest expansion team.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have it's not a total thrown together situation.
Right.
But, you know, it does warrant a little round of applause, especially considering that they are in the bottom tier for salary.
Yep.
At $68 million, and with the cap going up, you can bet that Bill Foley's going to put just keep, especially he sees his success.
Yeah.
You don't think this sumbitch sees dollar signs like he's a goddamn cartoon?
He's going to show up on John Tavares' doorstep this summer.
They score Tavares. Biggest coup ever. But I mean, they already have a good old long-term IR, two of them,
mm-hmm.
in Grabowski and David Clarkson.
Oh, yeah.
So... There's that. James Neal's unrestricted this year. David Perron's unrestricted this year. Ryan Reeves unrestricted. Carlson's got arbitration. Oh, boy, is he going to bank after this season.
He's going to have a payday.
William Carrier, Thomas Nosek. I mean, Thomas Tatar's on this team for a while.
Yeah.
Riley Smith's on this team for a while. Cody Eakin's on. Like, there's a lot of grit guys. Eric Holla, if you hear me. We're going to make this a tag team match playa. I don't know if anybody would get that reference. Lucas Spezza is a guy who's a UFA. I mean, they have a lot of guys. They have a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah.
And I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury's done. Like,
no.
He's going to get a contract extension.
Yep.
He might get like a 2-year contract extension, but that's going to be enough to get fans back. In Jesus.
Yeah.
They're retaining salary of Derek Brassard and Alexei Amelin.
Mm-hmm.
Work. Like, Broussard was there for like 16 seconds before they could update the Twitter. Yeah. Oh, by the way. Yeah, I like. I'm glad this team is doing well. Because I had my doubts. I'm like, Vegas, really?
Well, everyone did, right?
Yeah. I think they were picked to 68 points, I think.
And I said they would do better.
Oh, yeah, no, I had the over.
Yeah, no.
I didn't have the way over.
No, I don't think anyone had the way over, to be honest.
No, I don't think anyone was like, they'll get 71. They'll get a few wins here and there and get a couple of shoots. No. They're the 100. They're 101, I think, 102.
Yeah.
Jesus. They're almost on 50 wins. Yeah. If they're not already, I haven't checked the stats out in a while. All I know is the Caps just need 4 points.
I mean,
to clinch the division so they can lose the Penguins in round two again.
Yeah.
Fuck this team. God, wouldn't it be great if Pittsburgh just tanked and played in the first round and got it over with? Oh God, that would just kill me quicker. So statistically, Vegas, they already got 50 wins.
Mm-hmm.
107 points. Wow, I was shortchanging them. They finally lost 10 home games, and they're 21 wins on the road. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
21 wins on the road. It's a good team, man. 47 points on the road. That's pretty damn good, too. Anyway, best team ever is what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen. Like, without a hint of ironic nature, we call it the best team ever. All right, some cards. Unless you have anything else, historical value.
Nah.
Ovechkin's 1,000 games.
Yep. He's the first one from his draft class to 1,000 games.
It's durable, man. I think I saw a stat. There was only one season he's missed more than 10 games, and every other season he's missed less than 4.
Hmm.
First Washington Capital to play all 1,000 games, or to play 1,000 games with the team.
Yeah.
That's pretty astonishing.
Yeah, it is.
Some cards. All right. Rick Five.
Nah.
Nothing. Dave Gagne. Nothing. Rob Down Goes Brown. Got oops upside his head. Pierre Turgeon.
People still haven't forgiven him.
For
the juniors.
Oh, Pius Danny?
Yeah.
Also accomplished Little League Baseball player.
Yes, he is.
Prospect, Matt Sundin.
He had a problem with his fan mail. And they had to up security at the ACC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because girls kept sending him underwear, and then they would show up at the team parking lot. And leave him, like, love notes and underwear and flowers and whatever on his car.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Had a hell of a hair on him before he turned into Gollum. Slick back Sweden.
Yeah.
Michel Mougenot. Probably nothing.
Mm, no.
Rick Bennett. Probably nothing. A young man named Oli Kolzig. Doesn't have the... Oh, he's got the dirt stash in the back. Back one, too. I got a new thing of Baltimore memorabilia that had the infamous Wendy's with the big mullet and dirt stash. Yeah. This one just has
it's like
a dirt
flat
stash.
Top mullet too. It's the weirdest thing because it's like a flat top on top.
Weirdest mullet or perfect mullet?
And then it's got like the mullet on the sides and down the back.
That's called Glen Burnie chic, my dear.
I don't even know what all is going on there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Any big thing on Oli that we haven't heard?
One time he and Joe Riki were invited to play the new EA game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're playing, and of course always playing Team Germany. And Riki beat him and scored a goal. And so Riki was like, yay! His arms up in the air, everything. He was like, yay! And Oli reached over and like slugged him in the arm.
Nice.
So he didn't take it easy on anybody.
Playing Jersey or Germany. What do you expect? Also, you want to talk about crowd violence when he was in Tri-City, almost got over the board and just started swinging a stick at Seattle fans.
Yeah.
Now he owns the team. Brian Propp.
Nothing people haven't heard before.
Marty McSorley.
He actually kept the stick. The illegal curved stick?
Oh, I thought you meant the one that he hit Brashear up inside the head.
No.
I'm like, oh, God, that's vicious.
No, they asked him, like, what'd you do with that stick? He's like, oh, I should probably burn it, but it's in my garage somewhere.
Put that on eBay.
Oh, my Lord. I couldn't. I mean, if I had done that, I would have marched down to the sea and flung the stick in.
How did he get the stick back? That's my question.
Right?
Usually the NHL confiscates that stuff.
Right? I'm just like, how do you still have that in the first place? And secondly, why have you not destroyed it?
So here's a confusing card in the 1990 score set.
Kay.
Name says Clint Malarchuk. The back is Clint Malarchuk. The front's Tom Barrasso. Because it's a right-handed catch.
Yeah. No.
Either of them. I'll give you both if you want Barrasso or Malarchuk. Pick one.
Well, Barrasso used to sign into hotels under a pseudonym, Tom Johnson, I think,
nice.
And he called himself TJ. And he didn't realize that his teammates called him TJ for the jerk. His teammates didn't.
Yeah. I heard he was a ill-begotten son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, he actually went on a Hockey Night in Canada one time. And he was like, I don't give a shit what you guys say. And he said that on the live on air.
It's fine. It's public broadcasting.
That's the kind of guy he was. Nobody liked him.
Yeah. Malarchuk, nothing we haven't heard, I'm sure.
No.
Bob Joyce.
Nah.
Claude Lozelle.
Nah.
Jim Johnson. Eddie Olczyk. Eddie O. Who, by the way, congrats to him being cancer-free.
Yeah.
It's good on him. Anything on Eddie O that I need
his
to
teammates
know?
Used to mock him for his like super expensive shoes that he would wear.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say the horse racing.
No. A lot of hockey players are into horse racing, so that was whatever. But some of his teammates didn't like him. They felt he was a little too self-involved, a little too meme-y.
It's pronounced meme. Meme. Meme.
And it drove them nuts that he would show up to be a scratch or whatever, and he'd be wearing these $1,000 alligator shoes or whatever.
Listen, it's not an hour late, Gators, baby. Got to do that sometime, some way. Second pack, Cam Neely.
There was a reporter who said to him, "You realize I'm still going to call you every day." Like Cam had announced his retirement, and the reporter said, "You know, I'm going to call you every day and ask you how your knee is." And Cam's like, "That's fine. You're going to have to call Hawaii every day, though. You know, like."
Get the time zone right, stupid. I'm not waking up before 6 Hawaiian time. A young man by the name of Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, Lord. I don't think I could say anything that people don't already know.
The Waikiki hockey could be the greatest single terrible bit in SNL history.
With a young Conan O'Brien in the background.
Yeah. Oh, Conan.
Yeah.
Thomas Steen.
Went into Winnipeg politics.
That was my fact, too. Like, he became an MP.
Yep.
Doug Huda. Prospect Peter Lappin. Paul Isabart.
Oh, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Right? No one has. Not even him. Kim Issel. Terry Yake,
he was one of the first Ducks players.
He was top line on NHL 94.
Yeah. I have a follower who's a huge, massive Terry Yake fan, so every once in a while.
They're the one.
Yeah. There's just like, well, there might be two, but I haven't heard from them in a while. But yeah, every time I would post something like, today is Terry Yake's birthday, and he was the first. I can't remember if he was the first player signed by Anaheim or if he was the first captain, but something about him makes him an Anaheim first.
Bob Corkin was the first captain.
Okay. So anyway, I mentioned Terry Yake and I get two people in my timeline shrieking like, Terry Yake, woo! And I'm like, okay, so you're the people.
Randy Gregg. I have something on that.
Didn't he become a doctor?
He did. And the story kind of stems from that.
All right.
Because he made a bad play in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Uh-huh.
And Don Cherry went on air saying, how would you want to be a patient of his going under the knife?
Oh, that's right.
And Don Cherry's mom yelled at him.
Yeah.
And he had to apologize because his mom yelled at him. Because he's like, don't bring personal things into this. That's not right. So.
Yeah.
Ali MacInnis, anything we haven't heard from him before?
The reason why his shot was so terrifying is because on the family farm, he would get bored because, you know, middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would stand on the side of the barn, and he hung up a piece of plywood, and he stood on a piece of plywood, and he would just stand there and practice his shot because he was bored and there wasn't a whole lot of else to do. And that's how he ended up with this crazy shot that he had.
Jeff Smith.
That's a generic name.
Right. He was all rookie team, though. He's got a Stanley Cup.
Hmm.
And he played at University of North Dakota.
All right, then.
Yeah, he was born in Edmonton, chosen by the Oilers in 87, played at the University of North Dakota for 3 years, it looks like.
Hmm.
So we'll have to look up those Jeff Smith stats.
I guess.
with a G. Jeff with a G. Frank Musil. Franciszek Musil.
He had an off-season job.
Mm.
Yeah. He believed... He didn't like sitting still, and he because he came from the Soviet bloc, he thought better earn the money now while I can. So he always had an off-season job selling cars, or I think one time he worked in a meatpacking plant.
That's good. That's good summer exercise.
Yeah.
Dave Pullen.
Uh-huh.
Steve Chason.
Yeah.
And Doug Bodger. Mm. Oh, should have went out with Frank Musil. All right, that's it. That's all. We've done it another week. Where can they find you?
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Waz. You can find the show SDR Strom Bubble. Thanks again to the people who are of our Patreon descent. I don't know what that even meant. I don't know why I said Patreon descent. Kind of weird. But they are the fine people, like Brian, like Damon, like Mark, like Trista, like Matthew, like Ethan, like Chris, like Mitch, like Angela, and Sean. Go to patreon.com/facelifthockeyshow and you can add to that and get to our maybe goal of doing a show from the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And the Super Secret Show.
The Super Secret Show, which is basically just stalking Jen.
I mean,
the stalker shrimp bubble.
Based on what happens when we go into Joe Daly's card shop, like I can only imagine the crap that would fall out of my head.
Joe Daly, we go to Tom Reed's and you're just ripping all things. I'm like, Jen, I want a burger and have something to eat. Like, I don't care about Neil Broughton's high school career stats. I get it. He was Mr. Minnesota. Eat your matzo sticks. God. Anyway. That's it. That's all. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Cider Strum Bubble on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for subscribing. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again next time through. Bye.